I desire your prayers this morning. Last week we talked about different ones in the Bible, how they saw God. In Isaiah 6 and 1, he saw God high and lifted up. And what I'm interested in today is what reaction did it cause Isaiah to have when he saw that special? You know, everybody didn't see God high and lifted up. But what did it cause Isaiah to do? Did he go from there telling people, I tell you what, I am very special. I got a vision that nobody else has gotten. You know what Isaiah did when he saw God high and lifted up? He said, woe is me. Comparing myself, you know, the verse tells us, they that compare themselves among themselves, they're not wise. You know what, I think it's real good for us to compare ourselves with God Almighty. It's very wise for me to do that, because then I realize how much I need him. Isaiah didn't treat that vision that he saw as something special for Isaiah. It caused Isaiah to say, whoa, I've got some things about me that need to be cleansed, and they were. The subject that I have is humility. And I think of the definition, a modest opinion of one's worth. Lowliness of mind. You know, when Isaiah saw that vision, and you know what, that vision, as bright and big as it was, still could not contain who God was. It's just what he could see right then. But I'm thinking about how God is so interested in us being connected with him. You know, that's amazing. When God is high and lifted up, and we're just down here, feeble flesh. But he's interested. And I want to pick up a couple of those verses again. In Isaiah 57, because I think it's good for sometimes for us to realize here's where God is. He's way up here. 57 and 15, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now what if that verse just stopped right there? I'm up here and I don't have time for you. But instead it says, I dwell in the high and holy place, but also dwell in some other places, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What a contrast. A vision of who God is. He inhabits eternity. He dwells in the high and holy place. But he also would be willing to dwell with me if I would have an humble spirit. And also over in 66, if Solomon was going to build him a house, you remember Solomon when he did build it? And he said, the heavens and the earth cannot contain him. How much can this house contain him? This says in Isaiah 66 and 1, I want us to see this picture of the contrast of God and us. Because you know what I think it would cause us to have humility would be a natural reaction. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. See, here's another time where God is trying to give us a picture of who he is, how great he is. Heaven's his throne, this earth, you know, we can travel. People travel around the world and it is so big. God would like to just liken it. That's about where I could just put my feet. Earth is my footstool. Now, where's the house that you would build to me? And where is the place of my rest? Again, this visit here could end right here. And he say, there's nothing you can do to reach up to me. But he didn't do that. All those things hath mine hand made. All those things hath been, saith the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. To this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. There's another verse in Psalms 138 and 6. Because these verses are all telling us how great God is. This says, though the Lord be high. Okay, what is he going to do with poor man down here? Yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But then that verse still doesn't end there. But it says, but the proud he knoweth afar off. You know, God has some things that he wants to say, he has said about pride and how much he hates it. Why is that? There's a verse that's, he remembers where we came from. You know, it'd be good for me to remember where I came from. It says in Genesis 2 and 7, you know, he had everything at his disposal that he could have made man out of. He could have made him out of something much more valuable than what he did. It says he formed him of the dust of the ground. And you know, he went to Adam and Eve after that, after the sin in the garden, and he gave them a reminder. You know, he told Adam, in the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread. And then it says, until you return to the ground, because from dust thou art, and back to dust you will return. You know, that should cause humility to be just a natural reaction from us. I'm made of dust, and I'm going to go back to dust again. How much he dislikes pride, and why is that? We're breathing his air. You know, he created my body, and for me to feel like I have been able to arrive. Remember over in Psalms 100, it says a little piece in there that we all know. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You know, we're not a self-made person. God put this flesh together for us. He gives us, remember when Paul at Mars Hill, he gives us life and breath and all things. It all comes from him. So I want to look over at a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and in the 16th verse. If God could tell you, I'm going to give you a list of things that I hate. He did. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. 7, yea, 7, are an abomination unto him. And the number 1, you know, if we say you list things in importance, then this one got the number 1 slot. Maybe because for mankind, this is a very big thing for us to conquer. A proud look. You know, I was thinking of this. I don't know of anyone that has ever said, I am a proud person and I want you to know it. They don't say it. I wouldn't say it. You know, really, Nebuchadnezzar didn't say it. When he walked out of his house and he said, is not this great Babylon that I? You know, a lot of times where I comes in, if we're not careful, we find that there can be pride coming from it. You know, is this not great Babylon that I have made? And he adds some things to it, by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty. You know, he didn't say I'm a proud person when he was there on his porch looking it all over. But then he went to school for 7 years. And then he had something to say after he got out of class. I'd like to look at that in Daniel, the 4th chapter. Because God, I believe, is interested in us throughout our life. I'm never going to say I'm a proud person. But if I'm not careful, the attention is brought to me. This one, in the 4th chapter, the 37th verse, the class is over. God has put his right mind back to him again. He's now been restored to be king again. And what does he say? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Now look at this. We were talking about throughout the Bible, you'll find places where people try to give a picture of who God is. Majesty of honor. He's given it. All whose works are truth, his ways judgment. And look what he says. Now he never said at the beginning he was a proud person, But he came back and said, let me tell you something. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Boy, was he ever a changed man after that. And in 4:34, here's when it happened. And look at the praise that, you remember back at the beginning, there were so many I's in it when he was explaining something. Now look at this one. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. Now did it say, and I looked again at everything I have, and I'm still a wealthy man. He didn't do it. Here's what he saw. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever. What a changed man. Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And him, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So I would never look out over the things that I have or the abilities that we have and say, I'm a proud person. But you know what I want to do is let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now when Nebuchadnezzar stood on his porch and said, all of this that I have been able to build, he was going to let some people see his good works. But that verse didn't end there, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The things that I portray to the world around me needs to cause God to be lifted up. And so I've got another area that I'd like for us to think about. Is it possible for me to have spiritual pride? Now you'd think there's no way you can take some things, you can take oil and water and mix them together, and they're going to stay separated. You can't mix these two together, but can we try? I was thinking of a verse over in Luke 18 of a man that tried it in his prayer, Luke 18:9. It tells us in this one, he's fixing to give us a parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You know what I need to realize always? I can't trust in myself that I'm righteous. All of it comes from God himself. It's a gift that was given to me. And then he gives this prayer, which you know what? There's parts of this prayer that there's nothing wrong with. It says, two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Do you ever in your prayers to the Lord say, Lord, I see sin all around me. I see this transgender business. I see this gay marriage business. I see the wickedness that's in the world around. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not that way. I'm thankful. But you know what it went on from here is it was about me again. I'm thankful that I'm not like other men or even as this man right over here next to me. I'm thankful that I'm not like him. You know, there's some things that we need to be on guard about. And here's a verse that I want us to think about. In 1 Corinthians, because you know we are blessed people, that God has changed our life, and we will see the difference. But you know what? We need to give all glory back to God himself. In 1 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter, and in the 7th verse, this is talking about people that had some spiritual gifts, and they maybe it caused them to become elevated in themselves a little bit, but I believe it can apply to a lot of things in our life. 4:7, who maketh thee to differ from another? You know, how is it that what makes me to be better than any other, a person drunk out on the street? Is it something that I have been able to attain myself? It all came from Christ. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? You know, really, we can take that in temporal things. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, it would have been different for him if he would have realized in his heart when he stood out on his porch, Lord, I tell you what, I thank you for what you've done for me. I would not be able to do that. I think there's nothing wrong with us looking at what God has allowed us to have and say, Lord, I thank you for the strength that you gave me. Yeah. I think it's a good thing for us that it not become a habit when we get ready to pray before we eat. What we're doing, we're acknowledging, Lord, you are the giver of this. What do we have that we did not receive spiritually or temporally? God gave us the strength for it. And then I think these things, what they do is instead of me having to try to really work on myself to be humble, it comes more naturally because then I have a modest opinion of myself. I realize, you know what? This next breath that I pull in will be because God allows it to be. And it causes things to change. And it also, I need to always remember, salvation is not something that I got because of who I am. And it tells us that salvation is a gift. I didn't do anything to deserve it, but I can receive it. Let's look at that verse in Ephesians, in the second chapter. And in the 8th verse, you know, we always want to remember these verses right here. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift. So what it's doing is reminding me, because of my name or who my parents were or anything else was not what did it. By grace are you saved, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, as I see the world around me today, what should my reaction be? I've heard this said before of a minister that said, except for the grace of God, I could be there. You know, that changes everything then. It's not, I am somebody different than that, except that the grace of God was applied to my heart. I'm thankful for that. So when we're talking about humility, there is a word that can come up. It's called, a couple words, inferiority complex. What is that? Is that a synonym of humility? It says, the definition, an intense feeling of inadequacy. You know what? I think God wants all of us to realize I can't do anything without his help. But it's not the same as humility. You know, Jesus, he gave us a verse. And he did say, these words are in what he said. You can do nothing. Now, would that give you an inferiority complex if you just took those words? You can't ever do anything right. You can do nothing. Jesus gave those words. But I'm so glad that's not the only words that he gave when he was giving us that message. In John 15:5, he's trying to portray to us the vine and the branches. We're the branch. You know what? If that branch doesn't stay attached to the vine, I cut off some limbs every once in a while, and it's not but just, or especially if you cut a flower off, it starts wilting almost immediately when it's cut off from its source. And that's what he was trying to teach us and the people back then. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You're going to have to stay attached to me. Because he says, without me, ye can do nothing. And that's what I want to realize is he's not saying you're not fit for doing anything. No, just when I go from here, let me realize, Lord, it's you working through me for anything to be profitable. Paul was able to get a vision of that in Philippians. You know, Paul had some qualifications. I was reading some of those about him. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Well, you know, Gamaliel doesn't mean anything to me hardly, but it did back then. It was one of those pedigrees that if you went to this kind of school, you were somebody. But remember what he said? Those things were gain for me. I counted them loss. I laid those aside when he came through Christ. But then he says in 4:13, I can do all things. Now, what if he'd stopped his verse right there? We'd be saying Paul's a proud man. But instead, it doesn't end there. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I think that's something good for us today. There are things that seem like they're way too big for me to be able to handle. But you know what I can say, Lord, if you'll help me with this problem. You know what it could be? My attitude. It could be forgiveness or unforgiveness or all these things. You know what? It's not just what we would call some great big things. It could be just our everyday life. I can't do it in myself. Jesus wants me to know that. But just like with Paul, Paul laid aside his abilities to be able to take care of some things himself too. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So then I think of the example that has been given to us by Jesus over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2 and 21. For even hereunto you're called, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He left us an example of humility from the day he got here till the day he left here. From the manger to the cross was an example of humility. And then in Philippians 2 and 5, it tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it starts telling us who Christ was and who we want to be able to pattern our lives after. In 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to get a picture of his humility. Who being in the form of God, you know, we see all these things about Isaiah 6. I saw him high and lifted up. You know what? Jesus was right there alongside him before he came here. Who being in the form of God, God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he laid it aside. He made himself of no reputation. You know, it'd be one thing for me to say, I'm going to be an humble person. Well, you know what? I wasn't anybody to start with. But he came from heaven. He laid it aside, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. There's another verse in Philippians 2 and 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other greater than themselves. Jesus gave us an example of being a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant. And while he's trying to teach that by example, he's got some disciples that are trying to figure out who's going to be the best. Yes. Who's going to get the top seat? To the point that they had their mom come along. Mm-hmm. Do you think they were standing there saying, Mom, please don't. You're embarrassing us. No, I think they were, Mom, come on, you're talking it right. Looks like it might happen. And then, you know, it'd be something. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It would have been something if when the other 10 heard about it, they would have said, oh, that'd be okay with us if y'all were to get it, if you got the left and the right. Does it say that's what happened to the other 10? Uh-uh. Filled with indignation. Why? We were wanting that spot. And y'all slipped in there ahead of us trying to get it. So he's working with everybody, all of them. And you know what he says? The Son of Man, here I'm going to give you another example. The Son of Man did not come to be ministered to. He came as a servant, and he's trying to give a pattern to the disciples. And I think he's also trying to give a pattern to us today. He didn't come to be ministered to, but he came to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. He left us an example. So when we say, let each esteem other greater than themselves, is that inferiority complex? Is it I can't do it. You do it. I can't. No, I'm not able to do it. I believe what it is a willingness when it's needed, but preferring my brother. And I think one of the most beautiful pictures, you know, we can talk about it all the time about humility, but one of the most beautiful pictures I think I'll ever have seen was at Monarch. You know, you might have 30 ministers with messages, and we get to watch two of them get up at the same time. That's called a minister's nightmare. And not see each other and meet as they reach the pulpit. You're going to have to do something. You can't both be talking. And to see humility in action. Both were willing. Both had a message. But both also preferred one another. And I've seen that more than once. You know, it doesn't just have to be at the pulpit, but just throughout our life. Yes. There's a verse over in Romans, the 12th chapter. And Jesus is the one that gave us the example of it. Romans 12 and 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. See, that's no longer an inferiority complex. This is both are willing in a situation, any situation, doesn't have to be just as a minister. But I prefer you in this. There's a reason that we need to be doing that. And that reason is over in 1 Peter 5. This was an interesting verse to me. 5:2. This is talking to a minister, but I believe it could be to everyone in our role in the church. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So this is talking to a minister. You know, be careful of your role. And why is it? Look at the fourth verse. It's like those words just stood out on the page when I read them. Why should we? The chief shepherd's coming. When this chief shepherd shall appear. You know how little our roles are going to be when the chief shepherd appears? And what he wants me to have done is follow these instructions. Why? So that when he appears, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, that is going, heaven is surely going to be worth it all. So he goes on down and he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And then it goes on, something for everybody. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. It's not saying just have a shirt that looks like humility. Be totally clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When the chief shepherd shall appear, we want to receive a crown of glory that fades not away. And we sing that song sometime. Oh, what will it be to be there? You know, we need to be looking, longingly looking. Lord, one of these days you're going to come back again. And I want to have lived in a way that you're prominent. Not just, well, I never said I was proud, but the Lord searching my heart. Lord, help me to walk with humility and humbleness of mind, and yet not an inferiority complex. I can't do it. Somebody else is going to have to do it. So how do we get it? I'd like for us to close with a song, number 201. It is about humility. And there's a little piece in there that stood out to me. Thou door of entrance into grace. It opens it up. And that made another verse more understandable to me. Humility is the entrance into grace. You remember another verse that says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's almost like me walking up and saying, God, you owe me. No, I just went through this door called humility, and it's where the storehouse of grace is available to us. In this day and time that we're living in, I think an humbleness of mind is very important. I think what it does is it gets the Lord's attention. Those two verses, I'm way up here. But he didn't stop with that. He said to this man, will I look? Humble, contrite spirit, trembles at my word. I don't think that's an inferiority complex. I think I've just got a vision like Isaiah did. I saw him high and lifted up. I think it'd be good for us to all keep a vision of God. He's high and lifted up. And when Isaiah saw that, he said, woe is me. I am so, but did he stay there? Did he say, I got an inferiority complex now that won't go away? No. You know what? It was just a couple verses on down where he got the help that he needed. And then he was saying, here am I. Send me. Was that pride? Oh, no. No, he had just come through realizing who God was, who he was, and now God can walk with him. He will not walk with the proud. Just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly. In our day and time, Lord, help us to know what humility really is. I want it in my life. I want that entrance into grace, because grace is what's going to help us to make heaven. Maybe we can stand and sing number 201.